Oh.
So we're here.
We have a quorum this time.
Okay. Lady and gentlemen, welcome to the Kiri Beach Planning and Zoning Commission for December of 2016. We have the agenda here. Do I hear a motion to approve it? Or
I'll move approval.
Did you want to talk about livestock regulations?
Oh, we need to. Yeah, okay.
We need to just add that on.
Yeah, let's put livestock under old business as D, if that's okay, because that is old business. And with that change, I'll move approval of the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Take a moment to review the minutes from October, because there was not a November meeting. Oh, Nancy, Bill did ask for permission also to be absent.
Yes, I got that email.
Okay.
Move approval of the October 5th, 2016 minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
It's approved. I see no one for public comments. I don't think there were any sign-ups. Unless Mr. Cawthorn, representing the public tonight, would like to make any comments. So.
Not at this time.
Reserve all rights. Okay, old business. Fences and fence heights. We have some.
Just a real quick comment. I'm kind of the one that supports a lower fence height. What I did today, actually, is I Googled the top or the nicest or something like that, 25 small towns under 10,000. And got a list. I didn't have time to go through all of them, but I went through the top seven. That's how many I got through, gotten their ordinance about fence heights. And of that seven, I think three had 4 foot and four had 5 foot limits. And none had 6 foot limits. So that was just a little background. Because again, I do think it does affect property values, the sense of community and all that sort of thing. So, but there are, majority of the ones I looked at by a small amount did have 5 foot limits, but I didn't see any of them had 6 foot limits. And these are small towns that was on the list. So again, we're at 4 feet now. I guess maybe a nice little in between negotiated settlement would be 5 feet, I think. But I think 6 feet, again, distracts from the community, lowers property values and stuff like that. But I do agree with everything else that we talked about last time, in the sense of no chain of fence and things like that. So. But if there's no hurry and we're missing two people too, and I know Alan's been a strong supporter of 6 foot. I certainly don't mind putting off this discussion.
I tend to agree. I think the tall fences do get out of hand. I think our HOA is 4 foot.
Mr. Batson, in your notes here that were in the minutes, from the October. As you receive questions from homeowners about why the maximum of four, and then about the middle of the bullets is a 6 foot fence is a reasonable request. Was that your opinion or the people's opinion that were asking you the question, or?
I don't know who said that.
Okay.
I may have said it. I six-foot fence is a reasonable request, especially for your back property lines.
But other than some folks of the town coming to you, we don't have a groundswell about going to 6 feet, do we? I mean, is this a burning desire? Are people writing articles to the newspaper about it and things like that? Or is...
No. Obviously, you'd see those if it were like that. I think most people would just they go ahead and go with what they can have. I brought it up to a couple of different property owners that say, look, come to B&Z, make your case. Yeah, right. I brought it up to them before. And recently I've said that, and I told them it's on the agenda. I don't know if they're waiting on me or not. I haven't talked to them since then.
I mean, I personally don't see it as a really big issue unless we have a crowd here talking about fences. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's...
I guess we can.
I just don't see it as a big issue, and
we can leave it on until next month, and when we have.
Having chickens wasn't a big issue either.
Chickens are far more important. Chickens are far more important.
I mean, wouldn't you like?
But if somebody came,
being able to see that chicken.
I mean, somebody did come and talk about chickens. Nobody's come and talk about fences.
Especially now that we're saying that you can have. Let's see.
Well, cows and goats now.
You can have. One sheep per lot now.
You can have
swine. Come on, we're jumping the agenda. We've got to stick to the agenda here.
Just throw it out there.
You're going to need a 6 foot fence to keep your sheep in.
Well, then I'll make a motion to table this to our next meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Table. No, safe.
But we're definitely going to take out chain link fences, right?
Yeah, right. I have no support for that.
Can we make them completely illegal?
Right. Yes.
That would be great.
So to do that, we will need a change to the...
But we'll talk about that on the next one.
Okay, the town development line.
I can speak about that briefly if you'd like. I presented the commission, even though we weren't in an actual open meeting, with a PowerPoint that I provided for town council in September. Long short of it is, this has to do with oceanfront development. Right now we use what's known as a static line. It's a line that was drawn by the Coastal Resources Commission for our beach, and basically it governs how close to the ocean you can build. Along with that static line, which was, non-negotiable for lots, it basically made some lots not so buildable as other lots, in particular for larger structures such as multifamily buildings. The Coastal Resources Commission changed the rules and allowed for towns that had beach renourishment projects to apply for and receive permission to use their own development line. Basically, what it's doing is allowing some of these structures that are deemed non-conforming to have the possibility to be rebuilt. So, Carolina Beach went through this in July and received their development line for June, one or the other. And Oak Island did also. What it comes down to is right now we have a development line already. It's not recognized by CAMA, but it's there for our beach nourishment purposes. Did I go over this with y'all?
Yes, the whole presentation last time.
Were you weren't here?
No, right.
Do you want me to continue on?
Highlight it.
It's actually very interesting.
I read your points under C. So my biggest question is, so the ones that were built in the 70s and whatever that couldn't be rebuilt, those would now possibly be able to be rebuilt.
So right now, we don't have any houses that can't be rebuilt to some extent.
Okay, that was the glitch.
The problem is, let me back up. So So they can be rebuilt to some extent, but probably not as large as they're going to want to build them.
Okay.
The other end of the spectrum is that we've got ocean dunes on the south part of the beach. This could be most beneficial to ocean dunes than any other property in Cary Beach as far as rebuilding. So really the positives for us moving this way is that each lot should have more room to build on the oceanfront. If they try to use that room, it will restrict other uses on the oceanfront, such as swimming pools. And so really it's kind of a give and take there.
If they decide, so if they build a larger house, less room for a swimming pool.
Correct.
That's okay. What I'm going to ask.
Right.
If it's a 2,000 square foot home and they want to rebuild, then they rebuild 4,000 square feet. They might not be able to do that currently.
Correct. Okay. That's only a few lots that's like.
So if someone rebuilds and goes from this to this, their value goes up, so real estate taxes go up?
That's one way that you could look at it.
Probably.
Okay.
So right now, I got the map back that I had commissioned a surveyor to put together for us. I'm planning on coming to town council at their meeting in 2 weeks. Presenting that map, asking for approval to go forward, at which time I meet with CRC representative in Morehead City to put together the other information that I'm going to need. I'll be going before the CRC in February, if all goes as planned, and hopefully receive approval at that meeting.
Okay, so if council approves the map you show them this month, then you go to the CRC, if they approve it, you bring it back to the town and say, here's the new line or...
The town council tells me to go forward, I'm going to CRC, right. And it either is or it isn't. Based on what I saw for Carolina Beach and Oak Island, where it's going to be about a 5-minute presentation, and okay, Cary Beach, you're in.
Okay. Do you think the town council is waiting on a statement from the five of us, or?
I don't think so. I mean, if you'd like to make a statement, no, that's fine.
I was at the meeting you presented to the town council, and they didn't direct me to go solve this for them.
No, the mayor asked me to bring it to you, though, and that's why I did. So.
Okay.
It's up to you.
So it's really sure more for information for us, what's happening for us, than action for us.
It was.
Yes.
You know,
okay.
If P&Z is supporting this, I'm sure council would appreciate or welcome that. And if you don't support it, I'm sure they would appreciate and welcome. Why not? And
It sounds like it could only be a benefit to the town.
I really don't necessarily see a downside.
Right.
It's really going to help some properties, and some of them are in the business district.
Let me just kind of throw out a PR issue. There's a lot of, I just met with the Department of Environmental Studies yesterday, and you know, of course they're very vocal about building on the beach, you know, for a variety of reasons. If we do this, wouldn't that allow people to build closer to the beach, and would there be a possibility of bad PR? Now we're letting people, with all the issues, now we're letting people even build closer to the beach and
Closer and bigger.
I could see a real PR problem with that.
PR, I think you nailed it. It is perception, but really they're governed under, in some ways, more strictly. So on the regular setback that we use for houses, you can only build up to 5,000 square feet as it is. So the largest size houses I've permitted on the oceanfront, even recently, were like 4,200 square feet. This doesn't count your decks and other things, so the house is going to appear much larger than it actually is. If they were to build closer to the ocean and take advantage of this development line, that would immediately negate the possibility of them being able to put in a pool or other appurtenances on the ocean side of the house that you normally see now with every single one that's going in. Once again, it's give and take. If you want to build closer to the ocean, that's fine, but you can't have a swimming pool.
Right. So, you know, I would just suggest that everybody be aware that if we go forward with this and it is approved, I'm a big fan of contingency type of plans, and we just make sure that when the press or when the notification goes out to the press that we discuss those type of things, so it's just not, oh, we're letting
the beauty of it is
rich people at the beach build closer to the... I can see it. I can see that type of...
Town council can tell me to go back to CRC and tell them we want to go back to the static line. That's all it would take.
Okay.
How much of the dune, since you got the new map, how much of the dunes are taken out from the existing dunes now by any, or...
What do you mean?
Well, the development line is based on the dune.
Yeah.
Right.
It's based on the...
stable vegetation.
No, sir. It's based on the engineering that Army Corps of Engineers did after we applied for the CSDR.
Well, is the static line, and I didn't see the map, obviously, is the static line farther back from the dunes and we're just going up to the dunes, or are we actually...
So the static line is closer to the ocean than the development line.
Okay.
The difference is there's a setback measurement that you have to take from that static line, which is 60 feet toward the west. So the development line is further to the west than the static line, but you can build all the way up to the development line. I think when I've been looking at the map, it looks like maybe the most that somebody may be able to gain is going to be maybe 20, 25 feet that they can build closer to the ocean if they wanted to. The problem there is there's other things that come into play there, such as how big is that dune that you're wanting to build up to? Is it considered a primary dune?
That's what they're
considered a frontal dune.
So those
it will be site specific. Just because there's a line of sand right there doesn't mean you can build right up to it.
Yeah, so the there's other considerations that will have to be, just because that's lined there, if you're going to destroy a primary dune, you can't do that.
And I haven't even brought up the floodplain yet.
Well, that's the next thing.
The way our flood maps are drawn, they're drawn basically on the lines of houses that are already there in most areas, if you kind of look at it from 1,000 feet up. So if somebody wanted to build closer to the ocean, that could, just by moving that house footprint 5 feet, it could knock them into the next flood zone and increase their property insurance rates by tenfold and increase the cost to build that house twice as much, at least on the structural end of it.
So there's checks and balances.
There are.
Okay.
And this is not a free-for-all by any
means. That is.
If it was, I would never have even brought it up.
Do you gentlemen want to take a position? Or just we
no,
discussed
no, I can see arguments both ways.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think there's no. I don't think we should oppose it, and I think it's it seems like it will be overall benefit to the town, and we should support it.
Okay.
With the checks and balances that are always in place.
I don't know. I'm kind of neutral. You know, anything that's going to allow bigger buildings, bigger development closer to the beach, I would be nervous about supporting right now. I mean, if that's the way the council wants to go, but I personally wouldn't support. I'm not going to vote yes or no. I just see.
Well, you have to remember, we still have other things in play too. You've got a 35-foot height limit.
Yeah, I know.
Parking restrictions for every single bedroom they put in there.
I just see some really big houses being built by the beach right now, and half of those houses are being supported because they're mini hotels now.
I'd say more than half.
Yeah, so, you know, what we're doing is just allowing people to build bigger hotels that are non-regulated, and half of them not paying taxes, closer to the beach, and I find it's difficult to support that.
I hear you. Okay. Did you see anything in the newspaper about Carolina Beach and Oak Island getting that development line approved?
I saw something about Oak Island. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not fighting for or against it.
I know. Well, that's how I kind of feel too. I mean,
I'm
just
doing what I'm told to do.
Well, we need.
I can go neutral.
With that hotel house up there.
Those are just hotels.
We've had the same issues that we resolved.
They're in a nasty fight up there.
I don't even know how to begin to comment on that. That's.
So, John, there is a static line and it will stay. There's a development line and it may move closer to the static line?
The development line is constant. They're both constant. So okay. The development line that I keep referring to, it's already there because of the easements that we have for our beach renourishment.
Right.
So you already can't build up to that thing, to that line. So what this is now doing is making that the end-all line for anything to happen.
Okay. So there's a static line, there's the development line, and right now you can only build up in here.
There's another invisible line where you can build up to, and that's
and we are thinking about letting them build up to the development line.
Right, but right now, in between that invisible line and that easement line, you can put swimming pools and 200 square foot gazebos and 500 square feet of decking and all kinds of other things. So.
Well, I guess I would be.
I just don't see somebody filling up a whole lot, a big house with no decking, no anything like that. I think you're going to see the same thing happen that's happening that is happening now. So.
Yeah, I would be shocked to see a house just build the back wall that's looking at the ocean without a deck to sit on. Yeah, that would really shock me.
I wouldn't be too sure about that. I mean, that's, you can pack more bedrooms in there; they'll build it. Believe me.
Well, yeah, if you're okay.
So, I mean, we're thinking about single owner occupied type of property. These are small mini hotels.
They're being built for that.
Okay. Well, the council asked me on Tuesday night. I'll tell them we were briefed.
Yes.
Okay.
That sounds like airport
diplomat.
We were briefed.
We were briefed on the development line. Mr. Batson did a fine job. Okay. An update on the ordinance recommendation to the council for having hens on your property. Now that ordinance passed and was signed.
It's attached.
So. If somebody wants to make a comment about it.
Then do. At the end of the year, we should have a list of our high points of our recommendations and chickens.
Right up there. Right up there.
We still got livestock.
Okay, item D, the additional item, the livestock issue.
Chairman, I can offer a few comments on that.
Well, let me kick it off by saying at the October council meeting, when I presented our P&Z voted approved hen ordinance wording, which finally became approved by the council, I also talked to them a little bit about livestock and exotic animals and gave them a draft of what I think James, you had sent me, not early in October because we meet early, but maybe late September, whenever that was. I didn't say that was our recommended. I just said since we started looking at the hen issue, we've taken it to the next step. There are communities that have livestock and exotic animal ordinances. Do you, the council, want P&Z to go forth? And I think the answer was yes. Y'all discuss it, see what you think, you, the commission, would like to do with it. So, over to you.
And then I got your draft and tweaked it and felt that we needed definitions for exotic animals and livestock. And then Ms. Hewitt did us both a big favor of properly formatting it and properly numbering it. I'm comfortable with what you've got and be glad to discuss it. I've made three minor points on the draft that you've got. On the second line of red font, recommend a new Article 3. That should be Chapter 4, Animals. Not Section 4, but Chapter 4. Also, too, if you look at the bottom, you'll see two Section 422s. The second one needs to be 23 and add an additional number to the end. And then, before we leave page 1, if you look at the definition of livestock based on, and I don't like to call it a hen ordinance, I like chicken ordinance better. But I took out chickens, and maybe it ought to be hens, but I included roosters as livestock because they're regulated by their own ordinance. And if that is the case, then if you go to the last page for the animal unit, for the weight and size of the enclosure, we need to take the chicken row out of that. So those are my only comments. This was the Belleville ordinance in some form or fashion. Chairman Allen worked it up, and Ms. Hewitt and I polished it up a little bit.
Comments?
Sure.
Okay. No, I think this is fine. I mean, again, the other community I was with was very large and was originally a ranch, a ranchero, and so we had every possible animal. We had lions. We had lion country safari there. Okay, so and when they closed that, we had one individual that wanted to acquire lions, and we had monkeys, and but we had, you know, thousands of acres of stuff there. So I'm a big fan of this. I think particularly when you look at what was actually in the ordinance and the lack of any sort of regulations, basically, other than we couldn't let them run wild on the street, basically. So I'm certainly a big fan of this. I've got a couple, and I like the idea of putting really the responsibility in a permitting process that John would really kind of regulate right here. But the only three things that I have is that on the table at the very back, when it says area per animal square foot, you know, I think we need to write that as minimum area per animal square foot. Okay, because right now I was kind of struggling with this. Why do we have this thing called animal units? And then you have this table, and then there's a reference that you have to be at the table. But there's nothing in there that says that. I mean, just a little bit better definition, that the last column is really what we're saying is that you have to have this amount of area per cow, per goat, or whatever. It's not quite clear the way it says right
now. Do you want, one question I had, and I didn't do the math, is you got the two columns, acre and square foot. Is 1.4 acre equal to 60,984 square feet? So,
I mean, I would run through it again, but yeah, that's...
Should be pretty close, acres, 40.
Do you want the minimal area for both columns then?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, because right now it just says area. So, I mean, we're really talking about the minimal area that would be allowed for a permit. So we need to make that clear in it.
Which nobody's got an acre in four, so that means you can't have a cow, right?
There's no need to have an acre on there at all, if you ask me.
Just go.
It's, but we still need the word minimal area for...
Per animal.
Per animal, yeah.
And take out chicken.
And the other one, too, I have a problem with is rabbit. Okay, and... Because I know several people that have rabbits as pets.
So, by this ordinance, somebody on a regular 5,000 square foot lot could have 45 rabbits. I think they would need a 6-foot fence.
That's just the first year.
Yeah, if you start with 45, they're going to have a bunch.
You get down to it, a lot of these could be pets.
Well, yeah, I haven't seen a lot of turkeys as pets. And
potentially, you could have one
ducks,
goat.
Swine.
But, you know, kids hold goat. Rabbits, and they, you know, they're little bunnies.
You could have 15 ducks, 11 turkeys, 45 rabbits.
Yes.
Are we getting to a partridge and a pear tree soon?
Mm-hmm. You know, no, I'm serious. In a 6,000 square foot lot, let's say, I mean, it would certainly allow a lot of ducks, turkeys, and rabbits. And if you're at 7,000, you got to go. So, oh, by the way,
do we want to minimize the number?
I mean, well,
if it allows 45 rabbits, do we want to have an asterisk?
Say a maximum number like we did with chickens, with hens. I mean, hens, wouldn't it four?
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, we could do that. You only have one horse, four ducks, four turkeys, or whatever. But should have had something brilliant. What was that?
Well, does anybody have an acre of property?
Just one person, I believe.
So there's only one person that...
Is this clear that this is available? Because you, if you have a 6,000 square foot lot, let's say you've got a 2,000 square foot footprint on a house.
I think the way you read it is you got to have the... you got to show the enclosure, and the enclosure's got to go on the... I think that's available space after the footprint.
Oh, so...
It should be clear then. You know,
this would be... And if you can't have them in the front yard, like the hens cannot be in the front yard.
So my backyard, even though I might have a 5,000 square foot lot, my backyard might be only 500 square feet.
Right.
You know, if I'm,
so you're
if I'm building on the
better.
Beach, I don't have any backyard. So.
You're up against that.
I'm right across the development.
In your mini apartment.
Well, I think that's a good point. And maybe we need to work this a little bit. In regard to if we're going to restrict hens to the backyard,
well,
then these other animals should be restricted.
Yeah.
Or well, the hen lady's going to come and say, wait a minute, I got a horse in the front yard and you're
waking my. How about just having a column that just says maximum number of, I mean, if we want to let them have four rabbits and, you know, let's say maximum number of animals. And I think we need to make it clear that, you know, that this is available, you know, back available square footage in the backyard that we're talking about here, not overall lot size.
All right, let me, I'm making some notes here. One of the things I'm hearing is no livestock in front or side yard.
I think that says it in here, doesn't it?
It talks about the enclosure, but it doesn't
say
how many
animals. Okay.
You, so therefore, theoretically, you could have your enclosure in the back and a run along the side.
Right.
You also want, why don't we just get rid of weight and put that as maximum number.
Right.
Well, I don't even see why you need animal units then. I mean, you can take out, you know, I understand the logic of how you come up with this, but really, in the ordinance, you just need to have the maximum.
All right, so.
You know, or minimum area per animal, you know.
So we're going to get rid of units, we're going to get rid of acre column, we're going to use minimal area of available. We got to come up with the terminology. The bottom line is open area in the backyard.
Open area in the backyard, yeah.
All right, now maximum number of, we want to go so far as to, let's see, one cow, one goat, one horse, how many
dogs? Wait. If you're going to limit to that, is there any property that if you just take the backyard comes up to 1.4 acre?
That doesn't matter. You're doing it for the future. Somebody is
well, they could buy four or five lots, I guess. Yeah. Okay.
How many ducks do you want?
I'd say we allowed four hens, we should allow four ducks.
How many turkeys? They're bigger.
I don't know.
And what happens if they reproduce, Lord help us?
Well, that's, I mean, same thing with the hens.
Grab those.
Well, the hens won't reproduce if you've got no hoops.
Three turkeys for every day.
Turkeys are loud rascals.
They are. I know why we're looking at this, because we don't have anything that governs this, really. So do we really want to see any of these things in town other than a chicken, a duck,
that's
and
my
maybe
fault.
A rabbit?
We're going to see rabbits. I don't, you know, I mean, just what I saw in Mission Viejo, you'd be surprised what people, I mean, we just saw the front yard of somebody in our HOA who's crazy. And you might have somebody who just, I mean, you read in the paper all the time, people live with lions and tigers.
That person might get a horse and put a sign on the side of that horse and keep it in front of your
arm. I mean, it just takes one. It just takes one person to do it.
I think John brought up a good point. What do we want to see in our town? Do you want to see a cow? And forget the rabbits and pets. Yeah. Do you want to see a cow?
No.
And somebody run around with a horse.
I don't think anybody's ever going to be spaced out a cow.
Well, if we, like the council said, if somebody buys five or six lots and puts them together, in the future, they could.
Personally, I don't have a problem
it's
with
not only for now, it's for the future also.
I don't have a problem if they have big enough property to have a cow or a horse on it, to be honest.
I think that having...
But no one's got a big enough property now.
I don't think having it in here right now is a problem, because nobody's got that acreage.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So I don't have a problem with one cow, one goat, one horse. It's never going to happen.
Well, let's put zeros.
Well, you could put zero and prohibit the animal, or you could just leave it as it is because nobody's got 61,000 square feet.
Yeah, well, I would,
now,
like I would either take that, the line off and not address cow or put zero.
Well, whatever.
In fact, the only three I would personally list is four ducks, two turkeys, and six rabbits.
Yep.
No sheep, no swine, no cow, no horse.
Staff serves at the pleasure of the commission.
That's John Ellen. Vote on each one of these, pick a number.
So I guess we're just pretty much talking about these things will be allowed in the backyard, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to have to rework some of this.
And you could say, I mean, if we don't want a cow, then, you know, I'd put cow there and say not allowed. You know, I mean, specifically
right,
state that cows are allowed.
So,
or we don't want horses, and I own a horse, not here, but I like horses. And if I could buy an acre in Curie Beach, I'd buy an acre in Curie Beach and put my horse on it. But I understand, because horses do smell. So, you know, I didn't just say no horses.
So if you were building a new house on a 50-by-100 block, the largest or the furthest distance from the back property line I've seen in a while is like 18 feet. So let's just say 20 by 50, that's 1,000 square feet. That would allow you to have three ducks or two turkeys. That's it. It would allow you to have 10 rabbits.
Right. Okay.
Now, that puts it more into perspective, I guess. I mean, I don't think any of this is ever going to come to pass. So I'm just making light of it.
Well, it will come to pass in the sense that if, and I know somebody who does have rabbits, you know, right now, is that they need a permit.
I'm sure there's several that keep
That they're going to, I mean, if we're going to put rabbits in here, and then you're going to have a little 10-year-old girl knocking on your door, you know, with a little bunny saying that she needs a permit for her bunny, particularly around Easter time.
John will pay it out of pocket.
So, yeah, it is.
Mr. Bathroom, I have a permit.
Do we buy, just happen, I'm not a big fan of writing ordinances when the signature is applied, we've created felons or people that are in breaking the law just because we instituted a new ordinance. I know that happens all the time. However, I'm not a big fan of it. This business with the exotic part, it is, you know, and I don't think anybody has an ape and a bear.
Well, you don't
a raccoon
you can't
wolf.
Have an exotic animal, period.
Sure. Well, I know that's what it says. Are there any out there that when we sign this, somebody's then breaking
the
town ordinance?
They got a 30-day window to
get rid of
it. Right.
Okay, as I read this carefully, I can see, so we're using spiders as an exotic animal?
It's kept as a pet. I guess if somebody has a black widow, it's venomous.
There are a lot of people that...
I guarantee you there's a lot of black widows.
Or a really large snake.
There's definitely some black widows.
I mean, people have snakes in their houses. They have spiders in their houses, tarantulas.
And
they've got amphibians in their house.
We were just talking
This just says they can't put it now in the backyard. Or are we saying they can't have it in Curie Beach?
Well, it depends. Is that snake, because of its size, vicious propensity, toxicity, or otherwise... pose a reasonable danger to persons?
Only if it gets out of its cage.
Well, it may not even pose a danger in that case if it's a little green snake.
Yeah. Here's the other thing that we were talking about before is that there are snakes that are considered service animals.
Snakes?
Yes, I work for Federal Transit Administration, yes.
Yeah, you're right. I've seen reports on this now. They're using
it. It's for use for people who have the phobia for being in open places. They wrap the snake around them, and they're able to function outside of their homes.
Well, that's a reasonable accommodation under American Disability
Act. It is. I mean, we couldn't kick them off a bus. Nobody else would ride the bus, but that person could.
Wow, that's the strangest thing.
And you have, I mean, but that is another complication with this when you get into service. Now, I don't know if we even want to touch this right now. Since is there really an issue to actually do this now, or are we?
Well, it's bottom line. You don't have any regulation.
There's zero regulation. We need something.
But has anything happened yet?
Yeah. Well, that's what motivated the hen discussion, because I mean, we didn't have any regulation for hens.
You don't do anything if somebody wants to bring in a pet wolf. You don't. I mean, there's probably some other prohibition, but you don't have a regulation that says no.
What, does New Hanover County have anything that would cover this? You're not
in
already
county.
In, huh?
You're not in the county. County.
Okay.
Sure we are.
Well, you're in the county, but you're not subject to their zoning ordinance. Or their.
Well, that would be more of the permitting of animals within the county.
But the way I, back to the exotic.
I mean, John, is that something we need to check also? What is allowed under New Hanover County regulation for these? Or
I'm not sure how Animal Services overlays onto our.
I don't think Animal Services would address these things. Animal Services are traditionally domestic animal.
We got to call them if somebody spikes it, if somebody from.
I'm sure they would if we called or tried to help us, but I don't know.
I looked this up, and the only, I thought it was the state of North Carolina, the only thing that qualifies as a service animal to have that designation in this state is dog.
No, that might be a state regulation, but feds, it's, you wouldn't win, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I'm for something like this. I mean, we're kind of having fun with it right now. But, in all seriousness, you know, I think we need something because we have absolutely nothing other than they're not allowed to run wild on the street. I mean, that's really the only thing we have right now. So.
And we can put a livestock provided, however, chickens and service animals shall not constitute livestock.
Yeah, so I think if there's about 10 serious things here, you know, in terms of, you know, I mean, we don't want cows, we don't want horses and stuff like that.
Let's go back to that for a minute, because we didn't finish that discussion. Is the consensus of the commission zero cows?
Yeah, zero cows, zero horses.
Meat, zero horses.
Zero swine, zero sheep.
Zero sheep, so.
You suggested four rabbits. I mean, I personally don't even see why we need turkeys, but, you know, because. What we ought to do is think about what the limit we have here, on these things. I think also that when you talk about creating a nuisance waste, I think we need, even though it's a noise ordinance too, we need to, I think, build this in there that, because some of the problems here, like with ducks and turkeys, is not waste, it's noise that they're going to make. So we need to have something that says that, that the permit is or can be withdrawn if you get noise complaints or that sort of thing.
Well, I agree with you, Craig, that we almost take turkeys out based on the noise.
Yeah, they're really loud.
Because they are.
I've been in one turkey farm, and that it's been a whole farm, and my goodness, you just make a movement, they go, rah, 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 rah. It's pretty amazing. But poor rabbits. We got a lot of rabbits. Got a lot of rabbits.
Six rabbits?
Six rabbits, four ducks.
Six rabbits, four ducks. I'm in agreement with that.
I'll agree with that.
I'm going to have to change the approach quite a bit.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
You want me to bring something back?
Well, yeah, but the only approach that needs to be changed is perhaps the idea of the animal unit and calculating this. You know, the permitting process and all that sort of thing is still,
yeah,
I think, appropriate.
Yeah, but we've gone from allowing livestock to really, what we've got now is a rabbit duck ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else is basically prohibited. So I've got to kind of figure out, this thing's set up to allow for livestock, but we've eliminated 80% of the livestock, so I've just got to figure out how to word that.
Well, you know, I would keep that in there because there are a lot of,
believe it as it is.
Basically we're going to limit to ducks and rabbits, but there are a lot of other things that aren't technically ducks or rabbits that are like ducks or rabbits, like a gerbil or something like that. I mean, there's a lot of things. So I think you still want to have some sort of limitation where we're not trying to define the species of every single animal here.
All right, let me, for clarity's sake, you like the livestock approach that's set forward in this document, but you're going to get where you want to go via the table and the zeros and...
The zeros, and then have something in there that, you know, for other similar type of animals, then there's a limit there based upon.
Should there be anything in here that allows some of this stuff, as long as it's kept in the confines of your house?
Yeah, I think...
Don't forget, livestock is the concept there is an animal which is not kept as a pet. Who's keeping livestock non-pets in their house for what reason?
Well, there's little pigs that are kept as pets.
Well,
but that's a pet. That's okay. Not a livestock.
Well, do we need to define what we consider a pet?
I think you've defined it by defining livestock as all animals which are generally kept primarily for productive or useful purposes rather than as pets. Mm-hmm.
The
pot-bellied pig is not kept.
But the only one I would take out there is rabbits. I mean, who keeps rabbits?
Yeah, I mean, we don't put the word rabbits in the livestock definition.
I mean,
well, if you're going to take them out of the... If you take it out of the livestock definition, then are you going to take them out of the table as well? And if you got 4 to 6 rabbits, do you really have pets, or you got rabbits for whatever reason?
Mm-hmm. Unless we leave rabbits there, then.
Well, should we go exotic animal, livestock, and have a pets paragraph?
I don't think you want to get into regulating pets.
Yeah. What about breeding?
I mean, people will breed rabbits, I mean, clearly, and so on.
Well, if you got a limited stick, that's a problem.
Rabbits.
I don't think you want to... You all do what you want to do. This is just geared towards livestock and exotic animals, and I don't think you want to full breeding into it. If you've got limitations built into it for those types of animals, then I think that answers the question.
I don't think you would have enough property in this town. I don't know anybody, certainly my age group, that would want to do this. But it near Base X, where I live, here and there and there and there, people raised fox and mink and ermine and all these mm-hmm. exotic sable type fur animals to sell, you know, the fur to manufacture coats and hats and shoes and all that stuff, which is business. But we haven't addressed that in here. I don't know if I'd call foxes a livestock.
By the way, that's an interesting thing, too, because on a residential property, if they're raising it for sale, that becomes a business. And I'm not sure. It might be restricted under our zoning.
Right. Then they might be for doing
that.
So
that will not be listed under home occupation. So.
Yeah. So it'd be restricted in that respect in terms of raising foxes for jackets.
Well, the way I would read this is they couldn't have a fox anyway because it's an exotic.
Right. But some of the other ones, the same, you know, some of those are. Well, what was the one that?
We actually have fox roaming around in the neighborhoods. I don't know anybody that has enclosed them and called them their own. But
how about breeding dogs as pets? That's the only reason.
Most ordinances.
Well, that would be a business again.
Do you have breeding?
If you're going to do that,
your code anywhere, kennels and breeding. Most ordinances have that in there.
I don't think so.
And it doesn't even have to be a cattle, people raising their dogs.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, that's how we bought it. We go to someone's house and they're raising
dogs.
Their house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it fits into this concept if the commission wants to run this concept, but I certainly have seen zoning ordinances in particular that address and regulate breeding and kennels and the problems associated with them. Mm-hmm. So,
I think it's a good conversation. I'm going to make a motion to table this because I think this has been a good conversation for us to think about things and, you know, revisit this. You know, I do think we need something. Just
you want me to play around with it?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Discussion? Yeah.
You kind
of. I mean, you've heard the conversation and some of it we're joking on, but some of it I think is legitimate concerns in terms of.
You sent me that as a Word doc, didn't you?
Yes.
I'll be glad to do that.
Okay.
I'll work with you, Jim.
So I'll make a motion to table this item until our next meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, livestock issue is tabled to...
We've got a lot of interesting conversations over the last couple of
weeks. this one won't be.
Okay, new business, the nuisance reporting.
I talked to the police chief because we kind of just dropped this when we...
Right, he keeps saying he'll come back and talk to us.
And the change in the chief and all, and what he told me was they had one or two nuisance reports this year, and that was it.
For the entire calendar year?
For the whole, from when Chief Cooper left to when he took over, that there was nothing of, and he echoed what the former chief said, is that they think they now have, the word is out, and they've now got a pretty good handle on the rental units that had problems before, and they're hoping that it will continue to next year. But so this year, there's no action for us, but there were no nuisance reports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I'm actually glad to hear that the threat of possibly regulating actually changed.
It looked like it did.
So
I guess the only other thing we did, and we take this up next vacation season, is to maybe talk to him like we did with the other chief of what we would like to see reporting, and just in this, because we probably ought to do this for a couple years until and make sure that things have changed.
Commissioner, I do have a question.
Yep.
What do you mean by the word nuisance? Because there could have been reports of excessive garbage, excessive noise, excessive parking. Nuisance to me has its own connotation in the code.
If I remember right, it was noise, parking, and those were the two main areas that we were...
So you covered the vacation rental hot buttons with the chief.
Yes.
Garbage is still a hot button, I deal with constantly.
Yeah, but that, yeah, and maybe that's one, well, he wouldn't report on that, would he, John? That would be public works, right? If they had a problem. So.
Somebody come with a job.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I mean, we got there's several pages that talk about nuisances. Conditions, removing a vehicle, exceptions.
Right, well, this is a definition of nuisance under the new state law. This is a different issue. This is to identify nuisances under the state law that would allow us to regulate.
That's right. You'd have to pass an ordinance.
Yeah, it's a different issue related to
nuisances. Yeah, 68-424.
Yes.
If we had a bunch of them, then we were going to approach it from the ordinance.
Well, I don't know what it gets to how you define when the police department gets a call. And how they log it in as a potential crime.
Yeah, I don't know.
But if I'm the neighbor that called that in, it may have been a nuisance to me.
Huh.
It may have been four or five crazy people at a party next door, which I call, but when they come out and investigate, it's no longer a nuisance, like somebody's broken the law there. So I may have called it in thinking it was a nuisance, but it didn't get logged as a nuisance. And I'm speaking from experience because that happened in our neighborhood. There was a situation going on where some of the guys, we were at a little party. The situation occurred, a woman called one of us. It happened to be at the party when we all got our manhood up and went over there to see what was going on, and it was at the pool. And so I was kind of called into the police department that these young folks are messing around in the pool. It was after the pool had closed for the season, and it was way after hours. I thought it was a nuisance, but it turned out the next morning they found drug paraphernalia and stuff, so it probably got logged as a crime.
Well, let me ask, because I don't live by the beach. I mean, this whole purpose is to try to develop a possible ordinance for the rental properties, the short-term rentals. And that's the whole purpose of this. I don't live by the beach, so I don't get the sense, but you do. I mean, there's some other folks here that do live by the beach. I mean, do you have a sense that it's gone down, these issues? Does anybody live by the beach? No. I mean, who lives by the beach?
Little
4th
Street.
I'm not.
Yeah, one property had a problem with saved up this year, without a doubt.
Yeah, see, that's, yeah.
I mean,
Not that you have a lot of problems with the rental next to that.
Well, there are problems in there.
Fireworks, partying, throwing cakes into their pool, pulling palm fronds.
I mean, is this still happening though?
Their tree and lighting up.
Yeah, this is a couple of.
Well, okay, then that's a serious thing because what we need to do.
Was it reported? It was.
But we don't know how it was lost.
The police had trouble finding them. They weren't sure where it came from, and then they were finally directed that way on the third call.
Yeah.
Well, what I would suggest is that when we get to a peak season, that we provide some sort of a format because they don't know. I mean, police, by the very nature, are going to log criminal type of activity, and they've got the log book. But if we're looking for something that's going to be used for zoning purposes, we're going to have to give them something that they can follow and they can check off.
You're as interested in code enforcement matters as you are in criminal activity.
And that way they would log this as a nuisance at this particular property, even though it may not go down as a criminal activity because they didn't find anybody or whatever. So.
Yeah, I don't think any charges were filed that night.
Well, let's not wait until, if we're going to do that, why don't we...
One of the ways to do that is whenever those calls are taken by the police, the procedure ought to be, and you probably have to define it, but the procedure ought to be to CC John Batson type of call. If you get a...
If they actually make a record of it, I mean, what's happening is they get their call, they're going out there and say, hey, y'all need to put it down.
Then they leave.
So next Saturday, you got a brand new bunch of people in there that may or may not be an issue.
Right.
Same for the next 5 or 6 weeks, and then you'll get one more. Mm-hmm. That decides they're going to drink some juice and go crazy.
And we have been focusing on the tourist section, which last weekend is way outside of that. So maybe we'll check, see how that was. Check with him. I'll come down and check and see how he recorded that and if it was recorded. Do you have the address?
I can get it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
And you need to explain to the police why we're doing it. I mean, because... Yeah. The police chief really didn't understand, and once we explained that this is required now under state law to be able to develop an ordinance to identify short-term rental, you know, then it was fine. So it needs to be understood as to why we're asking them to keep track of a nuisance call because people are being too loud or they're throwing trash on the neighbor's property. I mean, that's why we have to record this.
I would suggest that we give him the same courtesy we did the former chief in inviting him as... And go through the whole thing with him.
Right.
I mean, we can do that next month. We'll wait until after the livestock issue is resolved.
So that'll be old business. Let's go ahead and invite, and you're right, I think we need to do this before
the
peak season hits. So if we're going to put together some sort of little log before the police, that'd be fine.
Okay, why don't we go shoot for February? I'll ask him to come to the February meeting.
Okay, number 7, member items. The council approved a renewal of the term that Mr. Richardson is serving in.
Thank you for that.
Anything else, gentlemen?
Mm-hmm.
This is Kathleen. Unless she's changed her mind, this is going to be your new secretary to the board.
Oh, wonderful.
Hello. Welcome.
Hi, everyone.
You missed all the fireworks.
Thank you, John.
Were your ears burning about an hour ago?
It must have been. She rushed over here.
You don't own any livestock, do you?
What size fence do you have?
No, I heard about it. I knew that was going to be discussed.
You got 30 days to get rid of your horse.
You got rid of your cow just in
time. Motion to adjourn?
Motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I don't remember when they used to last 3.5 hours.